Your mornings start on the right track with the Breakfast Huddle on Money FM 89.3.
And we've got a very interesting conversation with a man that's a familiar face in the F&B industry. You've probably seen his restaurant around your neighborhood. I ate there just 2 days ago, just putting it out there. It has a green frog as its logo. We are talking about Sakai Sushi. And today we have the founder and chairman of Sakai Holdings, Mr. Douglas Fu. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sounding bright and chirpy.
Do you normally start your day this early, Douglas?
Yeah, sometimes even earlier, depending.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you do in the mornings?
Try to eat breakfast with my children.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a wonderful family bonding way to start the day. So, Elliot had a question from the last hour. He's a fan of your restaurants. He wants to know, why is the frog your logo? I'm sure you've been asked that before.
Actually, when we first started the first unit over at OUB Centre many years back, our dream was just not to build a restaurant. It was to build a global brand. We want to be the next Starbucks of sushi.
Okay.
So that's why our name is Sakai Sushi. Drink sake, eat sushi. The whole world knows about sake,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
The whole world knows about sushi. So you drink sake, eat sushi. That's the brand, Sake Sushi.
It goes together.
Yeah.
So do you think we did well to choose green as our Money FM logo, just like you, just like Starbucks? All the great brands apparently
are green.
Yeah. It's just a green movement.
I just saw the connection there.
Are you a big fan of sushi? Do you eat it often? When was the last time you had sushi?
All the time.
Oh, yeah, really?
All the time. Not just sushi, but Japanese food generally.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we realized that there was no global brand for Japanese food, which is really a healthy cuisine. Yeah, and if you eat sashimi, you actually get the full nutrients. And that's the reason why the frog, because the young children can't drink sake yet. So that's why we need a logo that is global.
Yeah.
And frog in many countries signifies a new beginning.
Right.
And if you look at the frog itself, at the bottom part of the frog, you realize it looks like a bowl full of rice.
Yes.
It does, actually.
We're in the sushi business. And if your rice bowl is always full, in the Asia context, it means that you're never hungry.
You're never hungry.
Yeah. And it looks like the golden ingot. You realize that? And the circle on the tummy, together with the head, makes a number 8.
There's so many things in
that.
This.
Wow.
Yeah.
So as a very small company, we are not even an SME. We are a VSE, very small enterprise. But we have got a very big dream. We want to be a global brand. You need to have all the good elements.
All of that goes in your logo, and you've invested heavily into thinking about what goes behind the logo. But you started Sakai Sushi nearly 20 years ago, and it grew at one point to as many as 200 outlets across the region. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, was it an exponential growth? Was it something you didn't expect? Was it something that happened too fast?
Well, from day one, we wanted to be a global brand. Our target is 30,000 units around the 5 continents of the world. So getting to 200 is just part of the journey. And we're still on that journey. And if you think about all the global brands around, who are the global brands for food? For fried chicken?
There's fast food, there's a hamburger,
there's a coffee. But from Asia, has anybody arrived at a global brand stage?
You?
No, not yet. We are on the journey. We are dreaming about it. Yeah.
Douglas, you talked about loving Japanese food. I take it you are a fan of a Japanese culture.
Yes,
am I
am.
Right? How has that affected your personal approach to business?
Well, for a start, when we jump into the business world, I was growing up in the era where we were attracting a lot of multinationals, and a lot of my colleagues are accountants, lawyers. So going into entrepreneurship is by accident. My dad is an engineer. My mom is a housewife. So when the opportunity came for us to actually build a factory in India, that's our first business, to make clothing for Japan market, I started with my little piggy bank.
Wow.
And that's why we needed to go to a small little village called Kandla Free Trade Zone. And that's where we started our little trading and manufacturing business. And then when we decided to switch to another trade because of the challenge and competition in that industry, we wanted to have a much more wide, long-term brand-building project. And Sakai Sushi was the one. So we started building that from ground zero. And it was not easy because at that time, nobody was building brands.
Yeah.
And we needed to build a whole structure around that.
What was the biggest challenge of building a brand?
Well, certainly you're very passionate about the logo.
It's part of the brand, right?
Even designing the logo, the meaning of the logo and whatnot.
Absolutely. And what we're trying to do is, in a lot of the brands right now, a lot of them are hard brand.
Right.
They have not built a soul in there. So for us, we want just the frog to come alive with a soul. And so people recognize it as a value. And so the tagline for us is simple. Because when we started wanting to put vitamin E into the rice since day one, a lot of my colleagues have been in the trade for 10, 20 years. And they say, why do you do that? Because in this business, you cut costs. Mm-hmm. What we have just done is added costs. Because we're doing research about... Because I've never started a F&B business. So did research and went to his friend's house in Japan. And the wife was putting this yellow ball into the rice. I saw, hey, why are you doing that? She said, this is for good for my family because it's vitamin E.
Right.
That's from plants extract. I said, why don't we do that in all the restaurants? And I asked her whether the restaurants do that. They said, no, they don't have to do that because why would they do that? Because you can't see it.
And also you add cost.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And when I went back and I shared with my colleagues in a very excited manner, they thought I've gone crazy. and they were very worried that whether they're following the right person,
right,
because
right.
it is doomed to failure. But until 20 years later, we're still here, we're still doing the same thing. And we've been doing vitamin-enriched rice since day one.
Okay. 20 years, huh? Can you describe how this journey has been for you?
It's been really, really exciting. More than anything else, I think the learning of going to different markets and looking at how we can actually build an opportunity to build a global brand, it's just accelerating. Yeah. So for me, it's a learning journey every day.
Well, we are with Douglas Fu, the founder and chairman of Sakae Holdings. I want to ask you right now, what are your proudest achievements, Douglas, with the brand?
Well, I think we first of all, was able to conceive a brand that when we described to you just now, you saw many elements in there. And then within that, if you have dined at our place, you realize that none of my colleagues look like frog. And today you look at me, I don't think I look like the frog.
Absolutely
not. Of course not.
You look good, man.
Thank you very much. So it actually signifies everybody. So the eyes actually represent the strategic team that's putting the whole plan ahead. Mm-hmm. The smile represents our colleagues that are serving our guests every day at the front line. And the body covers the production, administration, and the procurement. So it signifies teamwork. And so when we come together as a team, how do we want to move? A frog leaps and bounds. So we need to put 30,000 frog prints around the globe.
Ah.
200 to 30,000. Okay.
Actually, you're starting with zero.
Yeah.
And every one of the big brands, they started with one shop. They started at one cafe. Yeah. They started with one bakery or one restaurant.
Yeah. You've talked about philosophy. You've talked about customer service, entrepreneurship, building a brand. But let me take you back through time. You knew you wanted... Well, when you decided to be an entrepreneur, why F&B?
It was not just F&B. The first business was because of opportunity.
Okay.
I wanted to work in a bank after I graduated. So life has it that you can plan all you want, but the market condition changes. Sure. So they were not hiring. So I just grabbed the first job. I was working for a Japanese company, met these friends who were buying clothing for Japan market, asked them, if we manufacture, will you buy? And they said, sure, if you give me same quality or better pricing, sure, why not?
So very that got you to answer. India.
That's right.
Ah.
Yeah. And that how started the whole journey of entrepreneurship.
I think entrepreneurship can be addictive. You think? Like once you start, you can't really stop.
I think it's a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we first started and we brought one person on board, we realized that it was just not that single person that you bring on board. The person doesn't work for fun. He works for a commitment.
Yeah.
And it's your responsibility to make sure that the commitment is fulfilled. And so when you have one person on board, you're at least responsible for at least three other people. So for us, the human capital part is very important. So over the years, we have built a whole human capital development program. Right now, we are building a Sakae Leadership Center. The other component that we have actually built over the years is Sakae Real Estate. And the third component is Sakae Global Resource. Because in order to build a brand, you need to know exactly where the fish come from.
Right.
So we have actually invested in a production and a supply chain over in Chile, in Latin America. because we need to know exactly when you build 30,000 stores, you need a lot of fish. At one point of time in Singapore, we use about 40 tons of salmon, just one fish alone.
Mm-hmm. That must be the biggest selling fish in Singapore, right?
Salmon? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Number one favorite.
Exactly. And if you start growing and you need more of this raw material, where do you get them? They don't produce it in a factory, right?
No, you don't.
You need time to make sure that they are fed right.
Mm-hmm.
They're being farmed in the correct water. And those are the things that we do. And we've been doing that, and we're supplying to a lot of the hotels and other restaurants as well in Singapore on a business-to-business.
Let's talk growth strategy. Part of it has been to diversify into other areas beyond F&B, such as corporate advisory, investments. Unfortunately, this was also a reason why you were dragged into a four-year legal battle. This one involved Griffin Real Estate and cost about $10 million in legal fees, which you eventually won. Now, what lessons have you taken away from this episode in your life?
It's a painful lesson because the person is somebody that I knew since I was 18. Yeah, we went to officer cadet school together. Well, I think looking back, it's been a journey. And that's why when we set up Sakai Corporate Advisory, it was more than just a corporate advisory unit, just like your usual research institutions or giving some proposals. But I've actually gone through a journey of that. I went through the whole journey of legal battle.
Yeah.
And so when you talk to other enterprises going through that, you're able to share those learnings that you have. So to me, well, if I have a choice, I'd rather it didn't happen, but it happened, so take it positively and learn something from there. And moving forward, I think we just have to be a bit more careful, but it doesn't. As you move in the whole enterprise journey, I think such things could happen anytime, anywhere. So risk management becomes a very important aspect of running and managing a business. Because while you have a vision of building something, but at the same time, be aware of the risks involved and always have different perspective of how things could pan out. Because especially in today's VUCA world, things are changing so rapidly. And so actually the Sakai Corporate Advisory is interesting because it's actually a product or a result of a fellowship that I took. It's called the Eisenhower Fellowship. The current chairman for that is General Colin Powell. The American chairman is a former president, George W. Bush and Henry Kissinger. So I took the chance to learn about how to build a global brand in a sustainable manner. And the other topic was, what's the difference between the capital markets in this part of the world versus the U.S.? Because if you look around, a lot of the activities are in this part of the world.
Yeah.
But many of these people who do their capital fundraising, like a big name in China, still go to New York, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So why is that so? So I got a chance to meet a lot of people in the U.S. and saw the opportunities of linking. And that's why we created a business unit called Sakai Corporate Advisory. So just now we mentioned about the human capital, Sakai Human Capital, Real Estate, Sakai Global Resource. All these are actually managing the risk of building a global brand because these are important pillars for that brand building. But at the end of the day, underlying that, you still need money to make that happen. It's called Money FM 89.3, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Going back to your restaurant, it was quite a rough year overall with the legal battle. I think that was about $10 million in legal fees. That really took away your focus on the business. So I think with a confluence of factors, the economy wasn't doing very well. You had to scale back and close quite a few outlets. How is morale at Sakai? How are you boosting it?
Well, since day one, people have always had that question of whether they are joining the right organization who add cost instead of cutting costs, right? Yeah. But how did I convince my colleagues for the vitamin E? I asked them one final question. I was trying to explain, look, if you add this in, you still have got a certain margins, that's fine. And they say, why do you do that? And the final question I asked them was, if you're cooking this pot of rice for your children, will you do it? And the answer is simple.
It's always yes.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, business is beyond just building a profit. it must be profitable because it's called business. But beyond that, what is it that we are trying to do? I won't live here forever. By the time that I close my eyes leaving this world, I want to know that I may not have helped many people, but at least I didn't harm anyone at all. And really, I think because I've got four kids, and I see how important that you want to build a better world for them. And that's why I encourage my colleagues that, look, we are trying to do something. We're trying to bring Japanese food to the masses. At that time, when it first started, Japanese food was premium. It was only for the people that could afford it. But now, it is going at a mass scale. Everybody can afford it. There are many people who jump on board. That's fine, because we are going to build a brand. And so, are you playing in the local constituency, or are you trying to play at the Olympics? And that's the whole frame.
Yep.
And you look at all the global brands that have built, they have gone through cycles as well. And really, cycles are just part of how life is. That is how business is.
Things have definitely evolved since you started. Things have maybe changed for your growth strategy. Is it easier now for you to expand overseas than to build your business here and compete locally?
I think overseas market, as far as if you are new to it, it's always like a beginning of another new journey. Yeah, because there are just so many unknown. There are just so many things. But I'm glad that over the years, we have built a very, very tight global network. So especially like the global resource that we talk about. So how many people around the world actually look at what the scarce resource in the sea are? The fishermen is just going to do the sea to catch whatever they need, right? And then they're just going to put it inside a big box called the cold room. Mm-hmm. And from the big cold room, they get transported to the medium cold room to a cold room in Orchard Road. And then it's just be kept waiting for people to eat.
Yeah.
But just now when you talk about the Japanese culture, I explained to my colleagues that let's not just look at the sushi as a sushi. Let's learn from how Toyota make cars.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they can make a car that's so globally competitive, I'm sure there are more moving parts in a car than a piece of sushi.
Yeah.
And I think if you apply that same thinking and modeling into the whole food and beverage business, you could get a lot of savings. Savings on resource that could be passed on to the end consumer so that you're serving as them as they are your children, but at the same time, being able to utilize and optimize resources very, very, very well. Because at the end of the day, the scarce resource in the sea is depleting.
Yeah.
Because consumption is going up. Economies are going up.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't mean that the resources are growing. Notice all your seafood getting smaller. And lesser. And really, for over the years building this network, we're able to have a much closer insight. We hope that we'll be able to do something meaningful.
Part of the reason of your early success was your adoption of technology in your restaurants. I remember going in, it was actually one of the first restaurants that used a touchpad to order food, right? How are you stepping up in this area of technology?
Well, we started that in 1999. Well, that's like...
That's how long I've been going.
thank you so much. When I say 1999, okay, that's like quite some time ago. And we actually started because we wanted to make it easy for people to know about the cuisine, because it was relatively new, about 2 hour items. People start asking, what's this? And my colleague have to explain like 20 times a day. And trust me, if you ask that same question 100 times, you're not going to smile on the 100 times answering the same question. But if you put it on the screen continues to smile at you.
Ah.
And we realized that we need to be able to capture data as well. And so we started that journey. In 2005, we have a patent for that, which means we're the first in the world to be able to do that. And thereafter, you know, many, many other innovations have happened. So today, we are actually undergoing a very interesting project. It's called the Future of Food Service. Yeah, and it's a whole new paradigm shift of how this whole optimization of from the resource, being able to see how your resource are being produced all the way to the front end where your food is being delivered. And your data will be captured such that if you share your health check data, we're able to actually recommend food that will be useful for your health benefits and your health building.
Well, maybe a double dose of vitamin E for me. That might be what I want. Okay, apart from being pioneers in technology in your restaurants, you've also been one of the first to corner the halal Japanese market. How close has Singapore F&B industry gone in realizing the potential of the halal market, you think?
I think there are many brands that have actually embarked on the project and have done really well. And there's some that are still embarking on that. It's a journey. There's lots of potential. There's market studies about the huge opportunities in that particular segment. And I think we are on the way there to capture that slice of the market.
Okay, and you know in Tokyo 2020, Japan really has to have more halal restaurants as well because they're welcoming the world for the Olympics. What do you think they could learn from you about producing local Japanese halal food?
Oh, I wouldn't dare. I think they are working very hard on that front, and they're trying to do a lot of the RTE, the ready-to-eat type.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's too short a time frame for them to really build. In any case, if they start to build that and just do it for 2020, a lot of times you see a lot of this infrastructure build up for a certain big event. And thereafter, then you realize that, hey, is there a market to sustain it?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's a sustainability issue.
Hey, before Elliot gets into the quick fire round, Douglas, we're a new station. I mean, you're looking at a brand new station here, right?
It's very
studio
nice.
And everything. Thank you for liking. And I hope that you will, you know, listen to us and tune in to us. But do you have any advice about how, you know, we can build our brand successfully? Because you're the brand builder.
Yes, Min. I'm a brand learner. I'm a student.
Okay, well, teach us what you've learned then.
I will share with you. I think you're doing great, and then right now you're creating that personality and a persona. It's a journey itself, and I'd like to congratulate you on that. You choose a very apt name.
Money,
globally recognized.
Thank you.
Is new to that, and in great color, which
Green.
Is what the whole world is looking at today, mm-hmm. about sustainability issues,
mm-hmm.
about how. It connects a lot of things. That color is strong.
Yeah. Two days ago, Ryan said, green is the new black. All right, quick fire round.
Okay, Douglas, answer as fast as you can. You've got 5 questions to get through. Here's the first one. Favorite item on your menu?
Tamago.
Ah. How do you like to distress? De-stress.
Play with my children.
Oh, that's nice. What is the best part about your job?
I love it. It's not a job.
Okay, if you love your job, you're actually not working,
you're
right?
You're living a life.
Yeah.
You're just living a life. If you don't do that, what do I do?
Okay, you love your job, but what's the hardest part about your job?
Hardest part? I don't think there's any hard part. There's sometimes a bit of challenges, but it's okay. Because when you overcome it, you get that fulfillment.
Ah, I love that positive attitude. Final question. What advice would you give to someone who's thinking about going to F&B right now?
Think twice.
In some cases, 3 times.
Yes, with that hearty belly laugh, we're going to have to conclude things. The founder and chairman of Sakae Holdings says, think twice, maybe 3 times, maybe 4? Can I throw in a fourth one?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
The structure is it's tough.
It is, huh? But congratulations on what you've achieved so far, and I certainly hope you'll get to your 30,000.
We look forward to that.
Yeah, the benchmark, right?
Yep.
Douglas, it's been wonderful having you here in the studio. Please come back, and we hope to see you maybe at your restaurant sometime. We could have lunch.
Sure.
Money FM 89.3. Stay ahead.